Hi, thanks for downloading the next chapter of The Butcher. I just wanted to let you know that if you want to buy the full audiobook at a discounted price, you can head over to nathanburrows.com/audio. Alternatively, you can buy a full price copy at any audiobook store. The Butcher is also available on Kindle Unlimited, ebook and print format, all via Amazon. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy the story.
Chapter 17. Frank looked up at the clock on the wall of the butcher's shop for the third time in as many minutes. He had not had any customers through the door since he had opened up after lunchtime. It was that, and the fact he didn't have a great deal of meat left to sell to any customers who did walk in, that made up his mind for him. It was time to close up. Thursday was often a slow day, and closing early wasn't unusual. Besides, he had a night out in Norwich planned that evening with Mike, so an early finish wasn't a bad idea. It would give Frank time to get back to the farm without rushing around. He walked to the till and opened it, emptying it of the meagre takings from the day. He'd be lucky if he had 50 quid altogether. Still, it was enough for a few beers with Mike, so Frank wasn't complaining. As long as Tom had a bottle of wine to keep him company, he'd be happy for the evening. Frank made a mental note to pick up a bottle of cheap white wine for his brother on the way back. As he walked to where his Range Rover was parked around the back of the butcher's shop, Frank thought about money. Or rather the fact they didn't have much of it at all. If anything went wrong with the Range Rover, which given its age and condition was quite likely, they'd be buggered. When he got back to the farm, he would have another quick look at the books. The few hundred quid they'd got from the unexpected windfall had proved very useful, but the arrival of a larger-than-expected electricity bill that morning had made the bonus short-lived. Along with the bill, there had been a flyer from a local solar energy farm offering to install solar panels on their farmland. They promised a secure, long-term income, especially with the price of energy from the other side of the channel being so expensive. It was a tempting idea, and if their father hadn't sold off so much of the farm, Frank would have seriously considered it. The problem was, they needed the land for the pigs. It's just there weren't many pigs at the moment. Boris, for all his enthusiasm, wasn't proving to be the most fertile boar in East Anglia. Frank was still thinking about getting the solar panel firm over for a visit to see what was what, as he pulled into the track leading to their farm. "Hey, Tom," Frank said as he walked in through the front door of the farmhouse. "How's tricks?" "Frank," Tom said from his position at the kitchen table, the Eastern Daily News spread out in front of him. "Good day?" "Not brilliant, but not awful. You, any news?" "Nah, not really. Mike came by, wanted to know if you're still up for tonight." "Okay, cheers," Frank replied. He'd forgotten to text Mike to confirm the arrangements for the evening. "I've got you a bottle of vino for while I'm out. It's in the car." "Nice one." Frank bustled around the kitchen for a few minutes, tidying up after Tom. For some reason, although Tom was quite capable of feeding himself, he was incapable of cleaning up after he'd done so. Frank had long since given up on trying to get him to tidy up after himself. "So, did you get many customers today then?" Tom asked. "Loads of customers, but not as many sales." "How come?" "They'd all come back for more of those bloody sausages," Frank laughed. "I had to tell them that we'd run out of that particular recipe."
"Really?"
Tom replied, a half smile on his face. "We should have put them in the competition I've been reading about." Tom pointed at the paper on the table. "Yeah," Frank said. "It's a shame your man wasn't a bit fatter." He saw Tom's smile falter. "You okay, Tom?" "Just thinking, that's all."
"What about?"
"What we did," Tom said. "Can I ask you a question?"
"Of course you can, Tom," Frank said, sitting at the table opposite his brother.
Tom looked worried, and Frank knew that was never a good sign. "What's up?" They sat in silence for a moment, Frank knowing better than to press Tom. It would come out,
whatever it was. What you said the other day about your man, the one that we... Tom paused. Well, that one. What about him? Well, you said he was just meat. Did you mean that? Tom said, a deep frown on his face. It's just... I've been thinking. Tom, Frank cut him off. You don't need to worry. We've done nothing wrong. And yes, I did mean what I said. The last thing Frank needed was Tom going off on one about the whole thing. He reached out and took Tom's hand in his, squeezing his fingers. So don't worry about it, okay? It was an accident. They sat in silence for a few moments before Tom looked at Frank and smiled. With relief, Frank could see that Tom's concern had disappeared just with a few words. What else were big brothers for? Frank thought as he got to his feet. Right then, Tom, I'm going to get ready. I'm supposed to be picking Mike up in an hour or so, so I need to make myself beautiful for the ladies. Don't forget your lucky pants, Tom said with a grin. Yeah, when we got a bit more money, I might buy some new ones, Frank returned Tom's smile. The ones I've got aren't working very well. 3 hours and 3 pints later, Frank and Mike were propping up the bar in the Murderer's Pub in the middle of Norwich. The pub was half full, but still busier than the other pubs they'd been to earlier in the evening. Frank looked around the pub while Mike brought another round. Bit quiet in here, isn't it? Frank said. Mike, who was wearing one of the most horrible shirts Frank had seen in a long time, turned to face him. Yeah, is a bit, he said. It'll liven up, though. The band's about to start. Thursday night in the Murderers was a live music night. Frank couldn't stand the music, but it certainly drew in an interesting crowd. Depending on the band, more often than not, there was an influx of youngsters from the University of East Anglia. A couple of years ago, Frank had enjoyed the company for a couple of hours of a young media studies student called Julie, who for some reason was wearing a onesie. She was way too large to be wearing a onesie in public, but Frank hadn't minded. Even now, he couldn't pass the deserted car parks by Anglia Square without smirking. In a very drunken conversation a few months ago, Mike had told Frank that they made the perfect sexual predators. In Mike's opinion, fueled by several pints of strong beer in a pub called the Belgian Monk, he was the alpha male, the lion of the pack, who just went straight in for the kill. Frank, by contrast, was the cheetah, who ran around the pack, picking off the weakest ones in the herd. Frank hadn't said anything at the time, but he's more than happy with that anthology. If it was reality, though, then they were both starving and on the point of extinction. Frank, only slightly less so than Mike. He had Anglia Square to thank for that. Come on, mate, let's grab a seat and see what's what, Mike said, picking up 2 pints of lager from the bar. Follow me. They sat in one of the alcoves in the pub, far enough away from the band not to be deafened once they'd started, but still with a good view of the bar. Cheers, fella. Mike raised his glass, and Frank did the same. Chin chin, Frank replied, and they both sat back on the wooden benches. Almost an hour later, just after Frank had refilled their glasses, Mike nudged him on the arm. Frank moved his arm to avoid spilling his drink on the table. He looked at his friend, who was nodding in the direction of the bar. Oi, oi, savaloi, Mike said. Frank had never quite understood that phrase. Other than in Mike's world, it meant, look over there. He did as instructed. At the bar, just being served now. You see him? Frank looked at the two women Mike was nodding towards. He squinted, trying to make them out through the gloom. A few minutes earlier, the lights in the pub had been turned down to get the atmosphere going for the band. Yeah, I see him, he said. What do you think? Mike replied. Mine's on the left. Frank paused, looking at the young women. Truth be told, either of them would do nicely. Mike licked his lips and got to his feet. Come on, mate, he said. Let's go hunting.
Hi again. Nathan Burrows here. Thanks for listening. Just a quick reminder, if you're interested in buying the full audiobook, head to nathanburrows.com/audio or any audiobook store.